Hey there. Welcome to the Faces of Marketing podcast, where we talk about the human stories and lives of different people, perspectives in the marketing and creative profession. This is your host, Ryan Buchanan, and I'm here with designer Elijah Graham. Elijah is a phenom. Not only do we play basketball against each other, but also a phenom here at growing digital marketing agency, Eroy. And welcome to the show, Elijah.
Man, thanks for having me, man. It's my pleasure.
Awesome. So with this podcast, we start at the very beginning and want to learn a little bit about how you grew up, what your family was like. So start us off.
Yeah, so I grew up Portland, Oregon, born and raised. So it's really interesting to see how things have changed over the years here. Grew up, went to Park Rose High School, did my 4 years there, played basketball. Then I was able to take my talents to Northern California, to College of the Redwoods, where I went to college, and then I played a couple years of basketball there. And then from there, I kind of transferred to George Fox, finished up my degree in my basketball, which was a great decision. I have two sisters, one half-sister, one full-sister. Otherwise, just growing up with my mom, and she was just raising us as much as she can to the best of her ability, so...
Awesome. So you gave us a preview of like the whole interview. Thank you for that. But we're gonna break it down and start with like your 8-year-old self. When someone said, Elijah, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was your honest answer then?
My honest answer, like I never, even though I loved basketball, I never said like I wanted to be in the NBA. I was just like, I would love to be in the NBA. But that was never, I was a little bit more realistic from a younger age, unfortunately, kind of. So I wanted to become a professional baseball player because that was my real first love. And then I started growing a little bit and the ball starts coming at me faster as I'm at the plate. So I stopped doing that. And then I picked up basketball. So for me, I mean, just running around the street as a kid until the street lights came on, I was out there playing basketball, running around the whole time.
That's funny because I was such an idealist that I wanted to be a point guard in the NBA.
Okay.
And like, there was no realism to that at all. As you know,
some game.
So here we go. So you went to Park Rose and what was high school like, you know?
Park Rose was a really cool place for me. I mean, we weren't really the best at sports, but we had so much culture at Park Rose. Like I grew up with friends. I mean, I have every type of race friends that are like my best friends. So, I mean, the expectation for me, like just after high school was for it to remain kind of that way. So I didn't really know much better than basically just my surroundings over at Park Rose.
Cool. And so, you know, you and I have talked about this, but with my oldest daughter doing tours of colleges and all of that, so was college on your radar? And like how, I think I know your story is like basketball was a factor in where you wanted to go to college. Mm-hmm. But then how did that kind of change? So first, how did you evaluate which college you went to? And second, where you ended up at George Fox after that, how did that all happen?
Yes. Yeah, so after high school, I had a buddy, one of my best friends, you met him, played ball with him, Theron. He went down to College of the Redwoods to play football. And he was like, man, you're good enough. You should come try to play for this team. I ended up contacting the coach, reached out. Did a little interview play kind of thing and got to play. So that was kind of basically the whole reason why I went to Northern California. I just knew I wanted to play basketball and I knew I didn't want to stay in my surroundings because I was trying to grow just as a person. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then after College of the Redwoods, I actually came back to Portland just trying to find another school to transfer to. And that's
why transfer?
Well, because I came back to Portland. I just wanted to continue playing basketball. Oh. So I had 2 more years left of eligibility. I wanted to continue doing that. Otherwise, I felt like I would regret it. And I had a buddy named J.L. Chambers who went to George Fox. And I didn't even know what George Fox was, to be honest with you. I just knew it was D3, and I was like, no. I'm not. I thought I was better than that, at least. But anyway, long story short, ended up transferring to George Fox to play, which was honestly one of the best decisions that I've made almost to date, just because it made me take school a lot more seriously than ever before, and it just helped me grow better as a man.
Mm-hmm. Cool. By the way, I ran into Tyler Monk at Portland Leadership Foundation, mm-hmm. and his story is a lot like yours as far as college going.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know his story, but I definitely know who you're talking about. We've had conversations multiple times.
Yeah, cool. So connect with him. And then before you, like going into college, what was one of the biggest obstacles you had to overcome, if any?
Man, to be honest with you, I just wasn't as prepared for college as I thought I would be. In high school, I was a good student. You know, I wasn't necessarily a 4.0 student, but I was one of the better students on our basketball team. So when I came into college and I had all this free time, mm-hmm. and then on top of basketball, which was kind of like a job, mm-hmm. it was hard for me to really make that balance with my studies and being on my own. And I'm in California and I'm living it up and I'm young. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest struggle for me personally, mm-hmm. was taking school seriously.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if you had like gone and visited a bunch of colleges when you're in high school and like, I don't know, put yourself in college person's shoes, that would have helped like mentally prepare you for when you got there?
I do. That was like the thing too. I didn't have nobody before me, like in my family or anything, that went to college. So I had to like learn the ropes all kind of by myself, and I had to like roll with the punches. If I made a mistake, I had to deal with it. So I wasn't set up in that way and for that mindset. But I do wish I would have visited more colleges, because I would have probably went to George Fox all 4 years. Just being in that 4-year institution and a university is just totally different than a community college. So
cool. So what drew you to design at George Fox? Like we've got quite a few designers from George Fox, but I never knew until I met you all that like George Fox even had a design program. Like what was that like?
Yeah. So mine's a little bit unique way of how I got into design. It was, long story short, I was taking accounting class. I failed it. Was going to go retake it, sat down with a counselor. She was like, no, you should think about doing something else. Thought about it for a couple of days, and then I was like, oh, okay, let me take a class and see if I like it. Found out that the computer works magic, because I'm not a drawer by any means. And that really intrigued me, and that really what got me going, like, okay, I can do this. So once I took a couple classes, it just became just a lot easier. I mean, just like the basics of basketball, right? Learning the fundamentals will only get you better. So that's how I got into design. And then leading into, you know, post-graduation and internships and coming here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then were you also into photography in college, or did you pick that up after?
Yeah, so I never did photography anything more than my cell phone up until probably my senior year in college. I always thought I had a pretty good eye for things, whether it's angles or whatnot, or just seeing something interesting. So I didn't know the functionalities of a camera at the time. I just knew my phone was quick and easy and capture it. So once I learned some basics, photography is like my basketball number two. After shoes.
Yeah, that's right. Sneakerhead, that's right. Cool, so tell the audience a little bit about how you got your first job after college. How that went.
Yeah, so Emerging Leaders Internship Program. I met George Fox one day and I see this sign that says ELI program. And, you know, that's my name. So I thought it was just meant for me personally. And it talked about diversity. So I really was like, oh, yeah, this is it. I joined this program called Emerging Leaders Internship Program. You're well aware of it. And did the whole panel interview. Ended up having an interview with 3 different companies. Eroy was one of them. Was lucky enough to be selected here at Eroy.
Who are the other two?
So it was Dave's Killer Bread and it was Watson Creative. Cool. I had another one at Pixel Spoke as well, but
yep.
For some reason I never ended up going to that. I don't know what happened, but worked out for the best. So I did the internship program and I did my I think it was 12 weeks or so, about 3 months almost. Mm-hmm. And got to stay on, luckily, here at Eroy. So cool. It worked out.
Cool. And what kind of stuff are you working on?
Right now I'm working on current clients of Jordan Brand, Adobe, and just Nike in general. Just designing emails and then doing some photography work for some other clients. like Allison and did some stuff with Kaiser. So
cool. Cool. And, what do you dig the most about what you do?
One, I like design, super chill. You can kind of put your headphones in and kind of zone in. But I also love working for the brands that I do, like especially Jordan. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of the brand since I was a kid. I want to be like Mike, all those things.
And we all do.
Yeah. So that's it. I got lucky in that aspect of just kind of going to my favorite brand like right away. So that's a huge impact.
And is there an example of like one campaign you've worked on that you're really proud of or stands out?
Yeah, I would say one I wasn't really expecting. It was just kind of a new integration to Nike emails, and it was just tabbed emails. At first I didn't really know that they never did a tab in an email before. So being one of the first people to work on that and kind of design that was really cool to me. Especially cause I didn't think it was going to be such a big hit when some people were talking about it.
What does that mean? A tab?
Right. So you can have, so example for the Jordan email, we had a men's and a women's shoe, both featured in the email. So we just split those up into two tabs at the top of the email where you can use your finger, just interact with it to switch between two different, basically full emails.
Got it.
Safe
Got
space, it. Length.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And then what, if you had to look for your inspiration, is it other designers? Is it, the environment, on your way to work? Like what inspires you or who?
Honestly, I pick inspiration from almost anything. A lot of like music I pick inspiration from. It's kind of weird, but I do, just seeing things and kind of piecing things from different places together into one almost. And then also just trying to stay current on the trends and what's going on, especially in the digital world. I mean, it's constantly evolving and changing. So I definitely try to pick from a little bit from everywhere and trying to like culminate it together.
Like name a musician that I should be inspired by.
Well, I don't know if you would be inspired by him, but for me, his name is J. Cole. I don't know, I think he might be like a year or two older than me, but we relate on a lot of the same issues that he talks about. So that kind of like gets me in the zone, and then I'll pick pieces from there once I get like in my mindset. Nice.
Awesome. Okay, so last two questions. If you dream a little bit with me, what does kind of the... What do you think consumers are going to feel differently in 3 to 5 years about marketing and, you know, marketing technology, creative, that mashup? How do you think consumers are going to experience that differently? Like, what's an example of that in 3 to 5 years versus now?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost now, but just expecting things right away. So whether it's buying something or seeing it tried on, or being able to physically touch it possibly, right away. I think that's where things are leading.
So you're in a Nike Town store,
mm-hmm.
or no, you're at your desk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to put your phone over your shoe or your foot and it shows.
Right. Yeah. So like
the shoe,
I mean,
right,
we've,
there.
We've had this conversation before. Like that would be, I can definitely see that coming really soon. Just being able to put my phone up to my foot and like try, see what a pair of shoe would look like on my foot without actually having to go one to the store or two, even having to deal with the crowds. I think that's going to be happening really soon. And I'm excited for that. I'm kind of, my pockets aren't excited for that, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that actually this morning, and I think obviously having more choice as a consumer to do that, you know, as I'll stereotype me as a guy shopper, like mm-hmm. I don't like to go to a lot of stores. I'd rather just buy stuff online. But I also think that in the 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a backlash to that. And when you do go to like a Salt and Straw mm-hmm. and there's an hour long wait, there is the experience of right. the people you meet in line, sure. the stories that you hear of the collaborations of the ice cream, you know, mashups of chocolate and habanero jelly makers, whatever. But mm-hmm. like, there's going to be like a slow movement and then a super convenient, you know, fast movement for consumers. But it's all going to be built around experiences where there'll be more choice for whatever you want right. to have.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I mean, a lot of people do enjoy the store experience. Yeah. I mean, I used to work at a Nike factory store, and I help people come in, you know, looking for the right shoe, and they just really enjoy learning about certain in person as opposed to having someone read it to them or having to read themselves.
Yeah, yeah, totally. All right, so last one. What's something the audience probably doesn't know about you? Like something... something big that happened to you in your past that's kind of shaped your trajectory of your career, or kind of just who you are and where you're going?
Mine's kind of two things. One I touched on a little bit earlier, that was making that transition to a four-year university at George Fox. It is a Christian-based university too, so that really changed me in a career field because it made me take things a lot more serious. But the big overarching one is just My grandfather, Elijah Sr. I'm Elijah the fourth, by the way.
I didn't know that.
But Elijah Sr., I mean, my grandfather passed away back in 06, but that was the most perfect male role model I've ever had in my life. And just hearing stories and just kind of going back in some of my memories and whatnot and just trying to stay on the same path that he was on and to carry that family trajectory and change it. That's something I'm really like serious about and I'm passionate about. And just because of that man, like that is only going to influence my kids and grandkids.
It's awesome. Love it. Thanks, Elijah. Appreciate it.
Man.
All right. Cheers.
Yes, sir.